Before you listen to today's broadcast, can I ask you to do three things? First, pray with me that God would use this show to touch many lives in a lasting way. Second, if you're blessed by the broadcast, share it with others. Tell others about the Line of Fire. And third, would you pray about standing with us in support with a one-time gift or as a monthly torchbearer to help us spread the fire? If you'd like to stand with us, go to AskDrBrown.org. Click on support. Be blessed.
In light of the Arizona shootings, there has been a lot of talk about rhetoric on the radio and TV. What about online rhetoric? What about anonymous internet communication? Is this good or is this bad?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the Line of Fire.
Well, we've all heard the tragic news of the shootings in Arizona, ranging from the critical wounding of a congresswoman to killing of a nine-year-old girl. Makes you think about life. But there's been a whole lot of talk about the rhetoric, and is there right-wing rhetoric that has played into this and created some frenzied atmosphere in which unstable people will do crazy things? Or is that rhetoric irresponsible in itself? The people claiming there is rhetoric, is that irresponsible rhetoric? I want to come at this from a little different angle today here on The Line of Fire as we seek to provide a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in compromise and a church all too often in chaos. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. On Facebook, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown, where we have raised a question. I'm going to come back to this question a little bit later in the program. I'm going to take your calls and comments about this, and I'm going to give you my own take on the rhetoric issue as it ties in with the tragedy in Arizona. Here's the question I put on Facebook. Do you think that anonymous internet communication is primarily good or bad? Do people express themselves in ways that are often very ugly because no one knows who they are? Or does anonymity allow us to have a voice without suffering intimidation and threats from others? And should believers hold themselves to different principles? I'm concerned about communication on the internet hiding behind anonymity that is totally out of control, totally provocatory, often ungodly, and often completely out of line, even on Christian websites. I'm going to come back to that subject a little later in the program and get your take on it as well. Is the anonymous thing good or bad? Is it good that you can post and say whatever you want to say without the consequences of someone knocking on your door or chasing you down? Or does that allow people to behave in ways that they wouldn't normally behave in? 866-34-TRUTH. But first, focus on Arizona. Of course, the shootings themselves are the main news. Gun control to me is not the main news, although it's questioned how this fellow was able to get a gun. You have to have something in place that makes someone this unstable at least flush out to the surface more, so it's more difficult for them to get a gun. But that's the secondary story. The shootings themselves, the tragedy of that, the loss of life. Other questions come to mind for me. A doctor that was interviewed said plainly, and maybe we'll get into this later in the week, that the fact that the congresswoman survived was divine intervention. He said it's an act of divine intervention. He called it a miracle that she has the possibility of a real recovery after this event. He said clearly it's divine intervention. Then that raises the question, where was the divine intervention for the pro-life Catholic judge that was killed? Where was the divine intervention for the nine-year-old girl that was killed? Where was the divine intervention for the others? So a lot of questions come up on that end from providence, from the hand of God. That's a whole other subject. But as soon as I heard about the shootings, he thought, okay, it's Arizona. Was it someone maybe involved in the immigration battle? I didn't know much about this congresswoman, so I didn't know where she stood on these issues. Had she taken inflammatory stands in the eyes of some, standing up for what she thought was right? Did that make her a target? After all, there's a whole lot brewing in Arizona and with the border issues and so on. And we know that on a regular basis, you're hearing about atrocities being committed in Mexico and on the border, people being beheaded and corpses left on the road and heads left on the road and torture and all kinds of things the drug cartels and so on. So Arizona would be a potential place where something like that could explode. I was wondering where they're tied in. And I thought to myself, this could be someone on the radical left or on the radical right. And it turns out it was someone, from all reports, mentally unstable that apparently would have been on the left. Some call them a left-wing pothead. There were fellow students in classes with him that said, you know, this guy's going to try to kill somebody. One lady was posting, emailing a friend and saying, I sit by the door. There's something with this guy. He's going to come in with a gun. So unstable young man. There's no actual evidence that he was inflamed, incited to do what he did because of right-wing radio or right-wing TV or the rhetoric that's going on a daily basis. And yet no sooner is the bloodshed that people are politicizing the event. You remember after the tragedy with the Oklahoma City bombings, then President Clinton pointed to the evils of the right and the right wing and the anger and all this. This was after a Republican surge forward in congressional elections, similar to, not as dramatic, but similar to what we just had now in 2010. President Clinton then used this to talk about the anger of the right and so on. And some believe that actually turned the tide against the positive right-wing surge that was taking place. Whatever part of it was positive and healthy. So I hear one quote and someone saying all the rhetoric and the birthers. It's like, wait. Hang on. You are now going to say that those people questioning the president's right to serve, whether he's actually born as an American citizen or not, that the birthers or somehow behind us. I immediately said to myself, why speculate? Isn't the speculation further inflaming hostilities? Isn't the speculation further angering people? Isn't the speculation another negative aspect of this whole thing? So as well known now, Sheriff Dubnyk, the sheriff responsible for dealing with the shootings, said it's the vitriolic rhetoric that we hear day in and day out from people in the radio business and some people in the TV business. Without naming names, he's obviously talking about Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck and Fox and other people and places and networks like that. And the moment I heard it, I thought, that's irresponsible. That's doing the very thing he's accusing others of doing because of the volatility of the situation. Horrific bloodshed, massacre. You know, you see, I mean, it's just mind-boggling that these things happen when they do happen. The horror of it, the trauma of it, on and on. Don't politicize it at that moment, even if you're upset, even if you think there's a connection. And according to everything we can see, and I may play some clips for an interview later in the show. If not, we'll give you a link where you can listen online. When interviewed about this, he said there is no specific evidence that ties his acts to the right-wing rhetoric, etc. But here's an article, New York Times, Paul Krugman, Climate of Hate. When you heard the terrible news from Arizona, were you completely surprised or were you at some level expecting something like this atrocity to happen? Put me in the latter category. I've had a sick feeling in the pit of my stomach ever since the final stages of the 2008 campaign. I remember the upsurge in political hatred after Bill Clinton's election in 1992, an upsurge that culminated in the Oklahoma City bombing. And you could see just by watching the crowds at McCain-Palin rallies that it was ready to happen again. He goes on and says there's been a rising tide of threats and vandalism aimed at elected officials, including both Judge John Roll, hang on, pro-life Catholic, who was killed Saturday, and Representative Gabrielle Giffords. He goes on to say this, there's a huge contrast in the media. Listen to Rachel Maddow or Keith Olbermann, and you'll hear a lot of caustic remarks and mockery aimed at Republicans, but you won't hear jokes about shooting government officials or beheading a journalist at the Washington Post. Listen to Glenn Beck or Bill O'Reilly, and you will. I trust they'll be weighing in on those issues today. He says, so will the Arizona massacre make our discourse less toxic? It's really up to GOP leaders. Come on. This, to me, is more of the unbalanced rhetoric. Oh, okay, let me ask you this. Where were gentlemen like Paul Krugman and others in the media denouncing rhetoric like this? Let's go back to 2002. President Bush visiting Portland, Oregon for a fundraiser. Protesters stalked his motorcade, assailed his limousine, and stoned a car containing his advertisers chanting, chanting, Bush is a terrorist. The demonstrators bullied passers-by, including gay softball players and a wheelchair-bound grandfather with multiple sclerosis. One protester even brandished a sign that seemed to advocate Bush's assassination. The man held a large photo of Bush that had been doctored to show a gun barrel pressed against his temple. "Bush, wanted, dead or alive," read the placard, which had an X over the word alive. Another poster showed Bush's face with the words, "Blank you, blank, blanker." A third sign urged motorists to honk if you hate Bush. A fourth declared Christian fascism with a swastika in place of the letter S in each word. On and on. Look, I remember regular calls for the assassination and death of Bush as he was president. I remember hearing about this. Where was the outrage? Where was the uproar? Where were the people saying this should all be toned down? Where was the media talking in such a way to say the left-wing media, this is abhorrent, this could lead to death, this could lead to assassination? And I can almost guarantee you that if someone tried to attack our president, if someone tried to attack him, they would immediately be written off as unstable, and in no way could there have been any type of conspiratorial thing leading to it. I'm saying there's been quite a double standard. I want to read some quotes of some folks that posted on YouTube about yours truly, just to give you an insight into some of the hate that's out there. And then I want to bring this down to where you and I live. Stay with us. A whole lot more coming on the Line of Fire today. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. You know, I got to do something today, just a little. Didn't have the proper equipment for it, proper snow shovel. I had to shovel a little snow from my driveway this morning in Charlotte, North Carolina. How often do you get to do that? I sent a note to our daughter and son-in-law here living in Charlotte with us on their 12th anniversary saying, hey, you had a white Christmas and a white anniversary. Come on. Don't expect that here in Charlotte. But we are live as usual, broadcasting as usual. The snow, the blizzard, the ice can't stop us from coming your way. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. In fact, I've got some breaking online news, ministry news for you. I'll share with you in a moment some exciting news. But we're talking about the whole issue of the rhetoric that's out there, the aftermath of the Arizona shootings and the politicizing of the event, in fact, and people saying that, you know, look, there's this right-wing rhetoric and the Rush Limbaughs and the Glenn Becks, and they're saying things and people are getting inflamed, or Sarah Palin, whoever it is, they're getting inflamed and now they're going to go killing people, which to me is highly irresponsible. Highly irresponsible, number one, because there's a lot of rhetoric on both sides. That's number one. And number two, because from what we can tell, this was a mentally unstable guy that was not provoked by right-wing rhetoric. And in fact, himself may have been left-wing, and why he went after this particular congresswoman seems to be demented, period. I do want to get into a very practical question with you. I'm going to talk about this for a couple more minutes, and then I've got a practical question for you. I get very concerned because of out-of-control communication online. I get concerned because people can just post the most vulgar, ugly, provocatory things, and a lot of emotion gets inflamed that way, and it's anonymous. You don't know who this person is. You don't know who you're dealing with. Would you post the same way? Would you communicate the same way if you had to do it face-to-face, if you had to do it in front of a camera, if you had to do it with your name on it? Is this a good thing where people are not intimidated because they can speak their mind freely? Is it a bad thing because people act like jerks and often say things that are very inflammatory and ugly? But let me throw out a few more thoughts about the issue of rhetoric and provocatory conduct. I feel that the sheriff's remarks were ill-placed and ill-timed. And Joey, go ahead, play this clip. I'm going to jump in a couple times. This is Megyn Kelly on Fox News interviewing the sheriff in Arizona, who immediately, the first press conference, this is emotional for him, of course. The judge was someone close to him, the judge that was killed, but as we understand, the pro-life Catholic going to mass that morning. Listen to Megyn Kelly probing the sheriff about these very issues.
You know, we've had some people question whether that is something you should be sharing now, because tempers are already inflamed. People are upset about what's happened. The grieving families are still mourning. The bodies have yet to be buried. And is it the time, really, to be injecting speculative opinion like that into this case by somebody like yourself, the sheriff?
Well, I think difference of opinion is what makes the world go round and round. But I think it's irresponsible for us not at some point to address this kind of behavior and try to put a stop to it. There's no doubt in my mind that there are consequences to this kind of behavior. When people, allegedly credible people who get up and in front of cameras and microphones and say things that are not true and try to inflame the public, when millions of dollars are filtered into this country to buy very vitriolic ads and they don't have to be identified, the countries that they're coming from or the people who are donating them, I think it's time that we take a look at it. I think free speech is free speech, but it's not without consequences.
And with respect, Sheriff, I know that you're a Democrat and you ran for office as a Democrat, and I just want to press you on that a little because I'm sure some of our viewers are asking themselves why you are putting a political spin on this when they may be asking why you, the sheriff, aren't just focused on the facts, on uncovering the facts.
Well, I think that it's more than just a political spin. I'm not sure that it really has anything to do with politics. You know, I grew up in a country that was totally different from the country that we have today. We didn't have this kind of nonsense going on, and it used to be that politicians from different parties could sit down, forget about their ideology, and work on the country's problems. We don't see that happening today. As a matter of fact, we see just the opposite. We see one party trying to block the attempts of another party to make this a better country. And I think that it's time that we as a country need to look into our souls and into our hearts and say, is what we're doing really in the best interest of this country, or is there something better that we can do?
All right, now, just to jump in, of course, I think what he's saying about politicians working together is completely bogus. I'm not disrespecting the man. He may be a fine law officer. I respect him as a man older than me, 75 years old, serving as a police officer for 50 plus years. I respect that. But the idea that one party is just trying to block it, come on, as long as I can remember, that's what happens. I cannot remember a time when everyone just works together happily ever after. But just go ahead, play the rest of the clip, Joey.
Now that's a fair point. You know, I'm separate and apart from what we saw in Arizona yesterday. I mean, you could make the argument that we just need to come together as a country. But I think, you know, people are looking at what happened in Tucson, and what you seem to be telling us, what the feds seem to be telling us, is we're dealing with, and I don't use this term legally, I'm not trying to say anything about how this is going to plead out in a courtroom, some sort of madmen, you know, just like we've had in the past, the assassination of Robert Kennedy, the assassination of John F. Kennedy, you know, the assassination of Martin Luther King, as you refer to a time gone by. There were madmen then, there are madmen now. And right. It just, you know, is it really the place of a sheriff to stir the pot on right. either side of the political aisle?
Well, I guess that's for the listeners to decide.
That's fair enough, sir. I appreciate that.
Yep, she's absolutely right. Polite, but now this is not for the sheriff to be raising. And there have been madmen in our country's history. Come on, go back to 68 when both Dr. Martin Luther King and Robert F. Kennedy were assassinated. There are crazy people doing crazy things and ugly people doing ugly things, and that's the tragic state of affairs. Check this out. When there were rallies against Proposition 8, all right? Rallies against Proposition 8 when it passed in California saying that marriage was the union of a man and a woman. Oh, radical. And it became dubbed Proposition Hate in gay activist circles. So here's a rally in Sacramento. Demonstrators held these signs. Prop 8 equals American Taliban. Ban bigots. Majority vote doesn't matter. 52%, meaning 52% of the voters, equals Nazi. Don't silence the Christians. Feed them to the lions. Your rights are next. Where is the media outcry, the left's outcry, saying this should not be done? Look, after I was on the Tyra Banks show talking about transgender children, different people posted, maybe it's gotten 75,000 hits, that particular episode. So it's gotten a few people viewing it, or that particular segment of the episode. One transgender young lady starts posting, Dr. Brown is completely corrupt. This is on YouTube. That man is corrupt. Well, he's talking nonsense, so on. And then she says this, he deserved, about me, to be beaten. Just like trans women get beaten worldwide and murdered even. I would like to do a lot of violent things to him too. I would horse kick him in the blanks while wearing high heels. I hate that man. Yes, he's an idiot. Blank idiot. Don't you just hate him? And then others say, yeah, they'd like to weigh in with violence too. There's a lot of anger and hostility out there. We as believers need to find a way to speak the truth in love, to, yes, raise the issues and awaken the conscience, and yet following different principles. We come back, we're going to focus on the issue, internet communication. Is it good that we have anonymous communication online? Good or bad? 866-34-TRUTH. All right, I want to get practical, down to earth here with you, my friends, listening to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thanks for tuning in. We've been talking about the aftermath of the tragic Arizona shootings. We've been talking about the question of rhetoric, be it right-wing, left-wing rhetoric. Is this the time to point to it? And again, in my own judgment, no, this shooting is unrelated to the rhetoric. This shooting is related to an unstable person. Who knows what shaped his thinking? And even if you can figure out what shapes the thinking of someone who's unstable or simply making sinful choices. That being the case, I want to talk to you about something very much related, very much that ties in, that has concerned me for some time. Years ago, about 14, 15 years ago, when I began to get involved with the Brownsville Revival in Pensacola, I was disturbed when I began to read internet reports by self-styled authorities, people who had never been to a single service, never attended a single meeting, and were writing definitive reports about what was happening in the meetings. And I became concerned, like, well, who are you? You know, in the past, if you're going to publish a book, for a publishing company to put your book out, you got to have some kind of stature or something where they know who you are, or they want to back what you're saying. Or if you're going to get your voice out through radio or TV, you got to have something behind you in order to do it. So it's not just any person can say something and now has equal weight. Now, on the one hand, I think it's great that things can be exposed by the internet community. That Dan Rather, a few years ago, famously made a statement that immediately was called into question, that anyone can do that. There's that larger accountability. I love that. I think that's great. I think it's healthy. I think it's healthy that everyone has a voice. But there have to be ways of sifting things through. And I began to think about this in particular as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus. What about ethical communication? So one individual I challenged, I said, you've never been to a service. You're talking about what's happening in the meetings. You get one report from some disgruntled person that may have been unstable when they went in there in the first place, maybe totally unreliable, maybe responsible for 10 church splits in the last 10 years. You're going to quote them as if they're an authority. You get 1,000 people with positive testimonies. You get ministers, leaders, people that have been seasoned in the Lord for decades giving positive testimony of what God's doing. You throw all that out. You ignore that, don't post any of that, just post the other. That, to me, was unethical. And so I started to deal with that years back. Then I found some people saying some very harsh things about Christian leaders in a particular group that I had been involved with for a while, and they were posting anonymously. I was there, I know. So I got back in a forum. I said, hey, this is who I am. You're talking to Dr. Michael Brown. I was personally involved with this. You're claiming to know certain things. Tell me who you are. How when you are hiding behind anonymity, when you are just posting anonymously, how do I know that you're telling the truth? Contact me privately then and tell me who you are, and I'm afraid to do it. Well, what am I going to do? What was I going to do? Anyway, all I want to know is to get to the truth. Do you have facts? Then let's address the facts. Or are you just repeating gossip? In other words, there's stuff that we would normally call gossip. There's stuff that we would call sinful speech, and it's now allowed, and you hide behind anonymity and say whatever in the world you want to say. So do you think it's just across the board a bad thing if you're going to communicate, put your name, let people know who you are? Or do you think it's a good thing because this way you can speak your mind freely without being intimidated? Or regardless of anonymity, are Christians held to a certain standard? What do you think about this? Do you think it's out of control? Do you think we have an ugly atmosphere online? People posting, you know, just go to the YouTube site with the Tyra Banks thing and immediately you can't read all the profanity and all the junk there and so on. And it gets very ugly to sort through. I was trying to read comments to see where people were coming from, how they were responding to what I had to say and what the other guests had to say on the show. But some of the reading's very ugly and you feel bad for the people. I do. The people attacking me in anger, I feel bad for them and think, man, they need the Lord. They're not whole. They need the love of God in their lives. I don't feel personally like some martyr. People get mad at me online. But what do you think? Anonymous communication, good or bad online? Don and Raleigh, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Michael. Appreciate you taking my call.
Yes, sir.
It's really a good thing to hear so many different things. I like hearing your program because it helps me to think. I remember a book came out where I think the title was, they thought for themselves. It is so important for us to understand when God tells us to be careful of what we hear and how we hear it. As Christians, we have an anchor, which is the truth. However, because we are able to take that truth and match it up against anything that is false, and it can show itself to be false, then we have the truth. The problem is that there's so many people out there who just want to do what you said. You know, they just want to say, well, here's, I'm the authority, this is what I have to say. You know, so many men have so many things that they think, and we all do our own selves. That's why we have to come back to the word of truth. The problem is that we don't know who we're dealing with, and we don't know what's coming at us. So that's why without that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the only salvation of all mankind, we are totally without.
So in other words, when you open the door to people to say whatever in the world they want to say, because most people have bad things to say or speak out of sinful hearts, that it's going to get more pollution than healthy communication.
Right, and it brings it, if we allow it in us, it changes us. That's why so many people are confused, transgender, all manners, in all ways. And so for me, I understand I have to guard my heart with all diligence, not some diligence, and see, well, what does that mean? Or what's this voice telling me over here? Let me check that out. But to stand with the truth and then hold up that shield of the truth, the word of God, that shield of faith, which gives us the substance of the facts, which are real, so that we can say, oh, okay, so this fiery dart that comes, we have something to say. Well, can you get through, or you're going to be quenched? You know, is it a lie or the truth? And appreciate all that you're doing with what you're doing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Don. I appreciate that very much. You know, listen, Don's saying something very important, which is with the amount of information that is coming our way day and night, bombardment of information, no age has ever had this level of information coming its way. We really need to sift what we see and sift what we hear. Sift what comes in our brains and hearts and minds, sift what comes out, sift more carefully the words that we say. How many emails have you sent out that you've regretted sending? How many times have you posted or commented and regretted it afterwards? Have you ever left a voicemail for someone and regretted it? Probably less, because you're thinking, I'm going to say this and this person's going to hear it and they're going to know it's me. You know, when you can just start throwing stuff out online and reacting, someone says something, you're going to react right back and forth, and you can embarrass yourself. I remember years back in the midst of just a very difficult situation with a friend, and I was upset with a particular aspect of what they had done in the situation. And I sent them an email, and I copied Nancy and my bride of almost 35 years. I copied Nancy, and she shot a note back, okay, we need to talk about that email before you send it out, thinking I was sending it to her first to take a look at. Well, I had already sent it out, and I lived to regret it because my speech was harsh, and rather than helping the situation, I inflamed it. We often get inflamed. We seize, provoked in anger, and okay, then we respond out of that. It's never the spirit of Jesus. I often want to provoke you to recognize there are problems in the society, provoke you to recognize that things are really bad, provoke you to understand the day and age in which we live, and provoke you to a spiritual response, not a fleshly reaction, but to a spiritual response. We will talk more about ethics of online communication when we return right here on The Line of Fire. Thanks for joining us, Michael Brown. Delighted to be with you. Looking forward to a great week on The Line of Fire. Okay, online announcement of real interest. We always get questions asking about correspondence courses, online classes. People want to sit in on things we're doing. They're not able to. Even when we had some live classes that people could take while we were doing the class, well, it didn't work in their schedule. Well, we've got our first two classes where you can study with me online. That's right. You can study with me online. get the full PowerPoint presentations, all the notes that the students would get, 12-hour-plus classes, one on Jewish roots. Why is Israel important to God? What about the Jewish background to the New Testament? What about replacement theology? What about anti-Semitism in church history? How to pray, these things. Jewish roots class, 12 hours, and principles of revival. What is revival? How does God work in revival? What's happened in times past in revival? Why do we urgently need revival today? Very inexpensive. You actually can take them over a three-month period of time, so it is dirt cheap. Trust me. Go to AskDrBrown.org. Right on the homepage or on our Line of Fire page, you'll see a banner, Study with Dr. Brown Online. We are thrilled to now make this available to you. 866-34-TRUTH. The question that I posed on Facebook right before the show was this. We've been talking about it. Do you think that anonymous internet communication is primarily good or bad? Do people express themselves in ways that are often very ugly because no one knows who they are? Or does anonymity allow us to have a voice without suffering intimidation and threats from others? And should believers hold themselves to different principles? Can I ask you a question? Why should we communicate any differently online than we do face-to-face? Why should we communicate any differently in email than we would face-to-face? Why should we speak in ways or say things any differently in an internet setting, especially hiding behind anonymity, which is something you normally can't even do in an email? Just posting, you can just call your name John Doe and you're going to post, or Jane Doe, and say whatever in the world you want to say. Is it appropriate to share things? Well, I would never talk about my pastor like that, but I'll post online. I'll say these things online. Well, I would never talk about a brother or sister like that, but I'll say it online and post anonymously. Isn't that just looking for an excuse to do unethical things? Isn't that just looking for an excuse to communicate in ungodly ways? Now, look, I think sometimes anonymity has a purpose. I think sometimes anonymous communication can be fine because you just want to raise an opinion for discussion. Like for me, if I weighed in on certain websites because I'm known in certain circles, it would immediately draw the attention to what I'm saying, whereas perhaps I just want to throw a question out for people to think about, all right? But if I want to communicate something that I stand behind, something that I believe in, a point that I want to make, if I can't do it in my name, if I can't do it in a way that people know who I am, especially in a Christian forum, I have an issue with it. I personally have a problem with that. I personally think it opens the door to all types of unethical stuff being said. Some of the responses on Facebook, let me read them. Daniel said it's a tool. You know, communication on the internet, anonymous or other, is a tool. Just like a knife can be used in the hands of a surgeon, in the hands of a mugger. In and of itself, it's morally neutral. It simply reveals what's in the heart of the user. However, that being said, most human hearts are very dark. Molly, I was just pondering the same thing. I think being anonymous brings the true nature of people to the surface. I think that we as believers should hold ourselves to a higher standard, always trying to do and say what's godly and be honest, even if honesty sometimes hurts. Jared said, I don't like it. Too many people don't have good things to say. They know they're bad, so they're more inclined to post it anonymously. I tend to agree in terms of whether it brings out more good or bad. I think it brings out a lot more bad, a lot more uncivil discourse, a lot more inflaming of emotions, inflaming of rhetoric, inflaming of something that cannot possibly be called dialogue. And we as believers must walk higher, take the higher ground. Remember the biblical principles. A harsh word stirs up strife. A soft answer breaks the bone. Proverbs 15:1, Proverbs 25:15 tells us that's Proverbs 25:15 tells us that a soft answer breaks the bone. Proverbs 15:1 tells us a soft answer turns away anger. It is so easy to get caught up in the unethical communication of the age. It is so easy for us to get caught up in rhetoric that is unchristian. Hey, can I tell you, there's a reason I don't just go around naming names of Christian leaders on this radio show. If others do it, that's between them and God. I'm not their judge. I can't tell you their motivation or the rightness or the wrongness for them. But for me, I'm very hesitant to do it. And if I'm going to analyze something that a Christian leader said, I'll try to do it in the context of their life and ministry. Because otherwise, we hear a soundbite and we instantly demonize someone. We instantly throw somebody out that may be a person doing a lot of good who loves the Lord, but has one area that needs some correction. And we often handle it with such immaturity because we're just going to get flamed. So we're going to get worked up. Getting worked up does not help us get right with God. Oh, I've got more to say. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Line of Fire as we talk about rhetoric, our communication online, hiding behind anonymity, good thing or bad. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us. If you missed the announcement, the last segment, go to AskDrBrown.org. Right on the homepage, you'll see a banner, same on the Line of Fire website, announcing you can now study with me online very inexpensively. You can take a 12-hour Jewish Roots class, a 12-hour class on Principles of Revival. We should have coming in the next few months a class on holiness, class on apologetics. So we're making these available online, and those that take them and end up coming to Fire School of Ministry, you'll be able to transfer credit in with a little extra work along the way. So take advantage of this. It's been something we've been wanting to do. High quality classes. You will be blessed. We studied together online. Okay. There are some comments as I've been looking on the Facebook pages about anonymous communication. Brad asked the question, I don't see any reason for anonymity. What do we have to hide? And Sean said, sometimes I have to think, would I say this to the person if we were standing face to face? Now, look, there are some on both sides of the political equation, and I don't look at myself, by the way, on either side of the political equation as much as on the kingdom side, which sometimes divides Democrat, Republican right down the middle, and sometimes it's going to be more on one side than the other, but My allegiance is to the kingdom of God, and however that works out in this society, I want to be loyal to God in this kingdom. There are folks on both sides, though, the left and the right, communicating quite clearly. The fellow who started the Daily Kos website, which has become very influential, and some would say the radical left, he wrote a book about American Taliban. Who would that include? Talk about inflammatory rhetoric. Leaders of the American Taliban currently rule in corporate bedrooms and state capitals, on Capitol Hill, and even in the White House, when Republicans are elected to the highest office. President George W. Bush's first Attorney General, John Ashcroft, was one such stealth jihadist. Ignoring his own promises during Senate confirmation hearings to put the national agenda ahead of his own religious convictions, Ashcroft saw no distinction between the public good and his private aims, and he immediately set out to use the nation's premier law enforcement machine to support his theocratic agenda. And he even started prayer meetings. Wow. So John Ashcroft is a stealth jihadist. And Bush and others were American Taliban. Totalitarianism for Christ, so on. Sounding a little different from Pat Buchanan when he spouts gibberish about the superiority of Christianity, Osama bin Laden has essentially distorted his holy book, the Quran, to serve his own militant message and extremist ideology, etc. That, to me, is just mindless rhetoric. It is rhetoric. And it is dangerous in that it inflames people. But look, people are going to be getting inflamed on all sides. I'm not expecting that to stop. I'm not expecting people on the left or on the right to stop. What I am expecting is for Christians to step higher. So let me give you my bottom line today. We as followers of Jesus need to bring everything out into the light. And if we're going to communicate online or through other means where people will not know our identity, let us communicate as if everyone knew it was us communicating in terms of ethics, in terms of righteousness of speech, in terms of grace, in terms of speaking the truth, in terms of not gossiping, in terms of not saying things that are destructive, in terms of always seeking to build up and move forward and benefit those that are reading and listening. Let us not just spout opinions. Let us not just throw out our two cents into the midst of an angry discussion. Let us rather be bearers of light. Let us rather be bearers of truth. Let us rather be representatives of Jesus. Let us rather be ambassadors of reconciliation, so that what we say on the day we stand before God, who knows our name and knows every word we say, that he will say, "You spoke well, you wrote well, you communicated well, you glorified me," as opposed to, "What was all that junk?" Back with you tomorrow.